Heavenly Father, come now by your Holy Spirit and through his power, bring to life these words and open our hearts that you might speak, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was young, my grandparents would only watch the BBC. The reason? They couldn't bear the adverts. In those days, you could even buy video recorders that somehow managed to edit out the adverts. Today, such is the power of advertising that on occasions people would be more interested in the adverts than what is in between them. People often talk more about the adverts than they do about the programs. So what is the measure of marketing success? Surely that comes when the brand has so slipped into the consciousness of the public that it becomes second nature. That almost without thinking, you connect a phrase or slogan with a manufacturer or a service provider. Let me try this. Beans means Heinz. See? Somehow, you know that. It's kind of wormed its way into your head. You know that for baked beans, it's firstly got to be Heinz. But how odd, because today no end of other people make beans, yet you know who is best. Their advertising has worked so well that it has got inside your heads. It has become a part of everyday language and expectation. Let me give you another example, this time even more successful. One that has so wormed its way into our minds that the name of a company has become a phrase within our daily language. Remember the elderly couple out walking together beside the seaside, anxious to rest their weary legs, sitting down to eat a packed lunch. Know the advert? Only to find themselves on a roller coaster. Or there's the other one, there's that young keep fit girl mistakenly walking into a hall of elderly folk waiting for bingo. She fires up her ghetto blaster and gets them all dancing. And what is the phrase? You should have gone to Specsavers. Just a few weeks ago now, someone was in church. They'd been away for a few weeks. They'd been a wee bit poorly. And I greeted them at the door by saying, "Goodness me, you look great today." Their answer, "Well, thank you, but Mark, you should have gone to Specsavers." My guess is that that person doesn't go to Specsavers. And in fact, I don't even know where the nearest branch is. But on one level, it just doesn't matter. Those adverts will probably go down in history as the most successful ones of all time, because they have changed a nation and got people talking about them just naturally in their daily conversation. Through humour and very, very clever marketing, the name of one company is in here. In the normal scheme of things, I wonder how many people could name an optician. There's several good ones down the road in Strabane, but I couldn't name any one of them. But if I did need my eyes tested, one name would come to mind. Should have gone to Specsavers. Successful marketing or advertising then is about familiarity and faith. Familiarity with a name and faith that it can deliver. People, when it comes to the sermon, usually expect three things. So just to keep in step with our norm, let's add a third. Familiarity, faith, and fulfillment. We are only able to put our trust in someone or something when we are familiar with what it is that they have to offer. If we don't know about them, we can never trust them. And that beautifully brings us back to this morning's Bible readings. These are the words from the first reading from the second letter of Paul to the Christian church in Corinth. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Familiarity leads to faith, and faith ultimately leads to fulfillment. The confidence that St. Paul has in Jesus is born out of knowledge, not just through learning, through head knowledge, but through experience as well. Paul is not confident in God's power to heal and change lives just because he has heard about it or learned about it, but because at least in part he has experienced it. Because he has literally immersed himself in it. We know, Paul says, that the one who raised the Lord Jesus. Not we have heard from someone else or been told, but because we know. That phrase "we know" comes again in verse 14. Then in verse 16, Paul says this: "So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." That knowledge, that familiarity leads to stronger faith and confidence. It's born out of knowledge. So we do not lose heart, says Paul, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. question for you. Do you want a more vibrant faith? Do you want to grow? Or are you happy just to stagnate? For Christians, growing closer to God and walking with Jesus, stagnating is not an option. Do you want a more vibrant faith? Then start by immersing yourself in the facts. Familiarize yourself with the accounts of eyewitnesses to those things. It's here. People who experienced God for themselves. The more you see and the more you know about Jesus, then the more you will be able to trust in him. And the more you find faith in him, the more fulfilled you will become. We had that reading, didn't we, from Luke 7, the story of the centurion who had a slave who he cared deeply for, but who was dying. The words of Luke's gospel say this: when he heard about Jesus. Again, it was eyewitness accounts. It wasn't stale history. When he heard about Jesus, he sent those leaders to him. Because he had heard and become familiar with the stories, with Jesus' power and ability to heal and set people free and change their lives, because of that, he had faith. He knew, not believed, he absolutely knew that he could trust Jesus to work a miracle for and upon his slave, even at the 11th hour. And extraordinarily, Jesus said of him, "I tell you the truth, not even in Israel have I found such faith." Familiarity leads to faith, and faith leads to fulfillment. But there was one other wee story, wasn't there, in the gospel reading? An extraordinary, difficult story. A story of where Jesus stumbled across a funeral. In those days, of course, there would have been no hearse and no cortege, simply the community walking together, holding the man in something akin to a stretcher, a wee bit like a coffin perhaps, but slightly less about it. And Jesus walked straight into it. It was never planned. But Jesus just stopped and looked. St. Luke tells us that Jesus was very moved. But who would have expected what happened next? Jesus stopped them in their tracks. Where they were, in the situation that they were, Jesus just stopped. Everyone stood still, looking into his eyes. extraordinary words. Jesus didn't speak to the crowd. Instead, Jesus looks straight at the lifeless body of that young man. Young man, I say to you, rise, get up. An extraordinary experience. Jesus came into their life when they were simply going about their business. But what did it take? It took him to stop them in their tracks. We live, don't we, today, whether we are young or somewhere in the middle, or whether we're elderly. We live very busy lives. We fill our lives with so many things, and often in the course of that, there's no time for God. Perhaps we need to be stopped in our tracks. On our journey through life, perhaps we need to be stopped by Jesus, to have him just in our way. Familiarity. Familiarity that is given to us firsthand leads to faith, and faith leads to fulfillment. Just imagine what it was like in the town of Nain. As Jesus stopped them in their tracks and turned them around, as they had a first-hand experience of his power of their own, it wasn't just their lives that were changed forever, but it was the whole community. Do you want a deeper, more vibrant faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that your Son broke in to the daily lives of people in his day. Come again in power and break into ours. Stop us, we pray, in our tracks. Instill in us more faith. Make us more familiar with you and your love, that through you we might find fulfillment. Amen.